morning, everybody. I'm Melissa Nails with Waldorf Essentials. Today I'm going to talk about sort of the writing portion of the curriculum in a homeschool setting. So it's going to differ a little bit because in a classroom setting, again, you've got a lot of kids and they're in all different places. And so you might have some kids that are like ready to zoom forward and some kids that aren't. But at home, it's a bit different. So I'm going to talk a little bit about like the process of writing as well as, sort of the act of it. And so the process of it would definitely include form drawing. So form drawing is something that you start in grade one. And you do that. So you start in grade one and you're working on that through the lower grades until you get to about fifth grade, and then it sort of transitions a bit into geometry, and it starts with free form geometry and then moves on from there. But form drawing is really this act of starting the writing process. And so a lot of kids are coming to first grade, especially the homeschool setting, and they're already writing, and some of them are doing really well at it. Some of them have just been copying. It's super, appropriate for a child, around ages 4 and 5 to start to want to copy things. That's just what they do. Remember, they're children of imitation at this age. So they're wanting to sort of do what you do. And so, because they see you doing that, and they see you doing this, they're going to want to be doing the same thing. So, you really want to not be freaking out about that. I just sort of, Soraya will show me like all the time, look at what I wrote. And it's something that she's copied. And it's generally her name. A lot of kids want to start with writing their name because maybe they've been in a situation where somebody wants them to write their name on a paper. And so around 6, I usually will cave in and just go, yes, that's how. But I think it just really depends on the child. Some of them totally decode that beforehand. And so when they're decoding it on their own, I'm not freaking out about it, but I'm also not sitting them down and going, this is an A. Don't do that. That's first grade work. So in first grade, then you're walking through the letters and walking through the alphabet and doing the sounds, and it's becoming a very full circle thing rather than this abstract thing. And they're starting to understand a lot more. So in first grade, those first summaries that are written in first grade are very short. Magic Mountains Move. Very, very short ones. And even shorter than that, as you're getting to the place where they're starting to read, or they're starting to decode words, because you want them to be able to read their summary work. So that really is sort of the step into how it all begins. And so then once you've stepped into that, they're copying the summary that you're composing together for the first, until at the end of third grade. They really, because they've been doing this with you and they're understanding a summary. And that's really what I think the biggest part of this is really understanding what is a summary. And a summary is something that they really need to know how to do from this early age, because it builds as they grow. So when I have families that come to Waldorf late, they often say to me, my child has the worst writing skills, or they didn't pick up any of this in public school, or a combination of those things. And I say, well, we're going to go right back to the beginning of understanding what a summary is. And when you understand what a summary is and you're sort of working with that piece, then they can start to extrapolate what things are important. And because you've been doing it since first grade and you've been saying things like, what do you think are important about this story? Or what things stand out to you about this story? And you're composing it together. Then you're starting to lead them from things, silly things that might stand out in first grade. Then you're starting to build on it a little bit, and they're starting to see the depth of what a summary is. So then by the time they're in fourth grade, they can write it by themselves. And in a Waldorf school, they would probably still be writing it together until fifth grade. And it depends, again, on the classroom and the kids that they've got in the classroom. But I think that really what we're looking at when you're at home is, because you have this individual opportunity, I like to start having them practice on their own at the end of third grade, like at the last month or so. And I will say, okay, let's see if you can write this one by yourself. And those are very interesting for them. And they can be, some of them take off and they run, and some of them go, oh no, but you've been doing it with me this whole time. And so then I might start them off with the, let's write the first sentence together, and then you write the rest. And so you just sort of lead them through this. And then in fourth grade, we start off with them writing their own pieces. Now I will go through it with them, and I'll say, so what do you think you should write your summary about today? What was important about this piece, do you think? Or what really stood out to you? What did you really love about the story about Thor? That sort of thing. So we sort of are looking at it from that perspective. That's also the time that I start really making sure that there's cursive writing involved. So cursive writing is sometime introduced generally, like we do that in about grade three. People are always asking me, what script do you like? Just pick one you like. Don't overthink it. Just pick one that you like and make copies of it so that you've got it in a spot. I have one laminated so that it's easy, and Sam still glances at it, and he's in fourth grade. And so, because he'll forget how certain capitals are joined to the small ones. So work on that for a few weeks and then bring it into your daily lesson work. Now I sort of expect all work to be done in cursive, just because I want him to really practice it. And I think it's important, especially if it is a weakness of yours or another parent, that you really have this fluidity between one piece and the other, that they have this ability to read and write in cursive, and write well in cursive. So it's something that we practice often. So like just about every time we write. And he will get to the point where he stopped, and then I'm talking about Super Sam. He has stopped asking me, oh, does this need to be in cursive? Because he knows it needs to be in cursive. And if you sort of make that a rule, then it will not be a big deal. So let's see. So after about fourth grade, you're having them write their own things. Now, where does grammar fall in? So grammar, you really start in about third grade, and you're starting with those nouns and verbs, naming words and action words, and then you're sort of layering it in a little bit more. By the end of third grade, you're talking about adjectives and adverbs, and then in fourth grade, you're adding in more of those pieces. Fifth grade, even more. By sixth grade, you're gonna maybe start to diagram some sentences, but don't do it in a really boring way. Find fun ways to do that. And you're really pulling in extra pieces, understanding different kinds of sentences, conditional sentences, different parts of speech in a much more defined way in about sixth grade. And then you're really building on that for seventh grade. So how that departs from, say, traditional homeschool or even public school is we're not doing worksheets about it. So we are, all of the work that you're learning as far as the parts of speech and all of that all comes from those summaries. So you're pulling all of those things together. So I might say to him, I really like this sentence here, but I think it needs two more adjectives. Or I'm not so sure about your use of this adverb here. Let's move it around. So we're using those words, but not until third, fourth grade when they're starting to write on their own. So before that, early third grade, we'll take a written piece, and maybe I'll have them copy a written piece from something that we're reading. And we'll do the underlining of, let's underline all the nouns and let's underline all the verbs. And getting them really comfortable about using that terminology after it's been introduced. So again, no worksheets. There's no worksheets that are necessary. And if you really work with this layering process, then they're not going to struggle with it. So if you are in a situation where you have to test, then I would recommend that before the test, about a month before the test, I would go to Barnes and Noble has testing books, and they're like teaching the test. So I get those, and for about a month before the test, we spend about 15 minutes a day doing the pages in the book, but it's only because I want them to understand the terminology that are used on the test. That's the only reason why we would do that. Not because I feel like they need a ton of extra practice, just because I want them to feel successful at the test. I want them to feel successful with the way the terminology is used on the test. And so that really is helpful to any kids that need to test, in that it makes them feel more confident. Now, hopefully, that's not your reality, but if it is your reality, take the time to practice just to help them feel comfortable. And That's going to make your job a lot better. It's going to make you stress a lot less. So, but really, other than that, we never did anything. And when Harry, so my oldest is 20, and he's got all the way through. When he took his tests at the end of school, he ended up taking his GED because we just that's what we did. The GED is actually a lot harder than it used to be. He did great on the written portions. Those were some of his highest scores. So, which I never considered him to be like great at that, but those are some of his highest scores because we had done all of this practice. There was a time in his like middle school years where we were having to test, and so he knew and understood what those, the terminology. And once you understand that terminology on those tests, it makes those things a lot easier. So that's really the way the writing curriculum portion of it all goes. It all comes from the pieces that they're writing. It does not need to be a lot of extra work. You can absolutely utilize everything that you're doing so that you don't have to have this separate English curriculum. And that makes it a lot very, very inclusive, a lot easier. So I hope that was helpful. I hope y'all have a wonderful week. I know I'm going to, at least that's my choice too. Bye now.